Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Yes, it is. It's Ask Rob and Rob. We're back with two more of your wonderful questions that we're going to do our very best to provide answers to. Those are coming up in just a second, but as always, we're going to give you a reminder of how to send your own question in.
Yeah, you can find us on the World Wide Web by going to propertyhub.net/ask and getting your questions in there. Or you can go along to your telephone. That might be a mobile device or a landline. Remember them? And you can call on 013 808 0035. Very, very simple. Both mechanisms will take you to a voicemail. Leave us a message and you will get on the show just like Tom.
Hi, Rob and Rob. Thank you for all your incredible content and all you do in the world of property. I own two HMO student lets in my own name in Cornwall, both earning about $1,800 per calendar month, purchased 5 and 10 years ago. I've not withdrawn any capital from them and have had some good capital appreciation in them both. Maybe you think I should withdraw some capital. I've saved about £80,000 in the bank and I'm looking to invest in another student HMO here again down in Cornwall, but this time as a limited company. I can get a 4 to 5 bed HMO here for approximately $280,000. Rent income would be around $2,000 and mortgage costs of around £600 to £700 a month. I greatly enjoy managing and maintaining the properties and having students as tenants. I'm wanting these properties to form part of my working life, hence why I'm still looking down here in Cornwall. However, just wondering what your thoughts are on this plan. I note from many of your episodes, most of your best places to invest are up north, and I'm amazed looking online how much more affordable properties are up here. I am wondering if you would be concerned by how much capital I'm tying up here, and would I be better investing less in one home and getting more houses in another location? Is it risky being too focused in one location and one rental area here? Thank you for your thoughts and consideration, and good luck with the Property Hub going forward. Many thanks.
Tom, thank you for your question. It's a really interesting one, and I'll give you an answer, and then Rob B might have a perspective on it that's a little bit different. We'll see. But to me, this seems like a case of you've got something that's really working for you, so don't change it. It's very easy to look around at what everyone else is doing. It's very easy to be hearing all about the best places and the trendy places and everything else. And maybe if the only factor were making your money work as hard as it possibly could, you would go and invest somewhere different. But there's never all there is to it. There are always other factors. Often, we're talking to someone where there's the opposite situation, where we're saying, well, you're looking at going into HMOs, but that's very time consuming. So are you sure you want to do that? But in your case, you actually really enjoy what you're doing. It's been working for you. It could continue to work for you. So I'm not convinced there's an argument to change that for something that may give you a stronger ROI, might give you better capital growth, but you're going to find it more stressful, more difficult. It's going to take away an element of property investing that you actually enjoy. The diversification point is a fair one, though. So the risk that you are exposed to with student HMOs in particular is if anything happens to the student market in that location, then you are going to suffer. So this is something that we've seen in other areas where, for example, lots of purpose-built accommodation has come onto the market and made HMOs less popular. I don't know the area that you operate in, but based on the very little I know, I'm not aware of any particular trends in that area that mean that the market is going to change significantly, is going to be flooded with new supply from elsewhere. But that is, of course, something that you would need to look into yourself and be aware of and be comfortable that the market is going to continue being kind to you in the future, as it has been in the past. So that's my perspective, Rob, but what do you think?
I completely agree, Rob. If you've got something that's going well for you, keep on doing it for now. Once you've hit your goals, and it seems like this is absolutely part of your goals, that property becomes part of your working life. Once you hit the number, the financial number that is, which will mean that you're happy with the income you're receiving from those HMOs, maybe at that point you'll choose to diversify. So let's just say your number is you want to make £5,000 a month profit. Once you reach that number, you start to save. Do you then get another property by the time you've got another deposit? Well, possibly, but maybe at that point, because you are now in property full-time, if that is your goal, you can go, okay, well, I don't need to do more here. Maybe I start to do it elsewhere. And maybe that's a different strategy altogether. Or maybe every other one moving forward is done elsewhere just to diversify. Rob and I have both talked on the podcast how we both started off with the right strategy for us, and it was slightly different for each of us. But then we both were a little too slow to pivot into a different strategy once we reached a certain level with our portfolios. So just keep an eye on your portfolio as you go on with this. Make sure you reflect and review over the years and go, am I still doing the right thing for me right now? It sounds like carrying on with HMOs is the right thing for now. Will it be in 2 years, 5 years? Who knows? But if you keep reflecting on your portfolio, say every 12 months, just do a bit of a review, then I'm sure you'll make the right decisions in the future too.
Okay, let's have our next question now. This one's from Rachel.
Hi, Rob and Rob. My name's Rachel. Thanks for your great content. Really love your podcast and all the things that you put out there. Really, really good, clear help you give. I've just got a question about an investment area. I'm looking to invest in South Manchester near the airport, Withinshaw Hospital area, in ex-council properties, and use them for possibly SA, serviced accommodation, for the workers around there. I just wondered if you've got any kind of feedback on that kind of area and if you would invest in a ex-council property. Yeah, any feedback you've got on that would be great. Thanks, Rob and Rob. Bye.
Thanks, Rachel. Let's break this question up into two parts. Let's first of all talk about the area and then let's talk about ex-council property. So Withinshaw, for those who don't know it, 5 years ago, it probably didn't have the best reputation. And I'm sorry for anybody who lives in that area. It's just that that's what the reputation was. You know, there was lots of other better areas around it. But that's why I loved it. Because if you look at Withinshaw on a map and you know Manchester, when you look at all the areas that surround Withinshaw, they're all top-notch areas, all desirable areas. Yet for some reason, Withinshaw wasn't seen as desirable. And I remember when we used to hold mastermind workshops using Withinshaw as a prime example of an area that should do very well in the future. And I'm pleased to say in more recent years that it is an area that's doing very well at the moment. And I'm sure in no small part to its fundamentals, the ripple effect from all those surrounding areas. But also, like you've mentioned, it's near Manchester Airport, but it's also therefore near great train links as well and great road links. And there's great employment opportunities as well. So there's loads and loads going for it. So as an area, yes, is it still not as shiny as some of the other areas it surrounds? Absolutely. You know, let's be serious. It's not as fancy as some of the areas it neighbours with. But is it going to improve because of all its fundamentals and those neighbours? I think so. So great area. But what about your property of choice, ex-council property? Now, I could give you an answer, but you know what's better? Get an answer from someone who's actually invested in ex-council. Rob?
Yeah, I quite like ex-council properties because they tend to be large, they're solid, and while councils have got a reputation for not being the greatest property managers, I haven't had any problems. And to be fair, there are lots of private companies that aren't very good property managers either. The one thing that you need to be aware of for ex-council properties is that as a general rule, and this is only general, you wouldn't expect the capital growth to be as high as it is for a non-council property. Why? Because not everyone likes ex-council. There's a bit of a stigma attached and they're often a bit ugly. So if you go and compare an ex-council flat to a really beautiful conversion, then you'll probably find that the conversion gets its growth earlier in the cycle and that growth is greater. That's purely because there are more buyers in the market for that property. There aren't those ones who've been put off by ex-council and therefore the price gets pushed up higher. The flip side of that is you're probably getting in onto the ex-council at a lower price, therefore your yield is going to be higher. So really it depends what your objective is. If your plan is to absolutely maximise the growth you're going to get over the long term, then it might not be the best idea. But if you're looking for something that's going to give you a decent yield and rent very nicely, then as long as it's the right property in the right area, because that's a factor, whatever it is that you're buying, then it's probably going to do quite nicely for you.
Well, thank you, Tom and Rachel, for your questions. And thank you for listening. Remember, we're back on Thursday with the main event, the Property Podcast. So make sure you join us for that. And of course, back next Tuesday for Ask Rob and Rob. So until then, take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.